what does being in the fourth year of a devastating drought mean for Nevada ranchers on the daily level? How are operations changing?
It's changed the way we operate completely. I mean, in certain spots in Nevada, they're actually completely out of business. In Lovelock, for example, they're pretty much out of business because they don't have deep wells. In Yerington, it's a little different. We're getting very little or nothing from the Sierras down the Walker River Basin, but what we are getting is our wells, but now it's in the courts because the state engineer wanted a 50% reduction and some of the farmers disagreed. So it went to court and we still don't have a decision here. I mean, psychologically, when you start losing crops year after year, it obviously takes its toll on people. And the question has always been, do we survive it? Do we continue? What happens next year? It's a myriad of things that people go through. Much like city people, when they're told to cut back 25%, like in California, perhaps even in Nevada at some point, on their lawns. I mean, nobody wants to see their place dry up. And we live in a desert. We're in one of the toughest droughts in history. So there's a financial end of it, but there's also a psychological end to it.
Well, and a big change now is that ranchers are actually having to ship cattle out of state. That's got to be a tough loss.
There are definitely cattle leaving Nevada and going east to where it's wetter. And so there's a long run ramification on that. A few years ago, Texas had this terrible drought. And the cattle at that time, and I call it migrating, they migrated toward the west, meaning toward Nevada, toward California, where it was wetter. And this all happened at the same time that the prices in the cattle industry had gone much better than it had been for many, many years. And what's happened now that Nevada entered the drought is the opposite effect. The cattle are what I call migrating east. And the problem being that with the high prices and with all the feed they have back in the east and the Midwest, I don't see a scenario for quite a few years of Nevada ever getting back to their numbers of sheep and cattle.
Along with not having enough feed available in Nevada because farmers just don't have the water to grow it, how big of an issue is actually finding the drinking water that animals need?
Oh, it's definitely a problem. What happens on that one is that when you're on these BLM or Forest Service permits is the drinking water, typically, they don't want them too much on the streams, which is riparian, and so there's issues of where are the cattle going to drink. I know of a rancher before this last storm sent three cowboys out in three different directions and came back with the same report. There's feed, but there's no drinking water. That in itself has them cutting the numbers and in certain places cutting all the numbers out of certain ranges. Then you look at the fire issue that possibly follows it. Because if you can't put cattle out, I think that the cheatgrass and things like that have a lot more chance of burning than if they take some of that fuel out.
I mean, it just seems like Nevada ranchers are facing so many obstacles today, largely due to the drought. Why do you keep at it?
Ranchers are the most blessed people on earth. We get to every day go out and look at green fields and cattle on ranges and beautiful meadows, and it's a certain lifestyle. There's an old saying that it always rains on a farmer's hay when it's down, meaning that we tend to look at things because we are so driven by the weather as negative. So point being, look, it's what we do, and in many cases it's been passed down generationally, and my granddaughter will be six generations, and I've been blessed. My kids all love it.
That was Brian Massini, a rancher with operations near Yerington and Elko, and I'm Michelle Bliss with Reno Public Radio. All this week, we're bringing you coverage of the drought. Along with these expert interviews, we're also gathering tips for water conservation. That's why we reached out to Andy Gebhardt with the Truckee Meadows Water Authority for advice. He says the biggest water waster inside our homes is a leaky toilet, and there's actually an easy fix.
Toilets could waste up to 250,000 gallons in a month. It's a simple and easy test to see if your toilet's leaking. You can put some food coloring or Easter egg tablets in the back of the tank. And then you wait about 15 minutes and look in the bowl, and if the color has seeped into the bowl, you're leaking through the flap valve. Any hardware store will have universal replacement flap valves. Go purchase one of those, and it's a super easy, simple fix, and it can save thousands and thousands of gallons of water.